It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. And are you woke, Mark?
I'm not
who
woke.
Who came up with woke? Who came up with that?
Someone who was previously not woke.
Awake? I mean, geez, I'm woke. Give me a break. I swear, it just feels like we're living in an alternate universe.
Buddy, I got to tell you, I was preparing for this show this morning, and I came to the conclusion we can't cover all the lunacy that is happening this week in 1 hour.
Oh, it's insane what's going on.
I mean, it really is. It is bizarre.
You know what's weird to me is apparently in New York, Los Angeles, places like that, and certainly Washington, this is like business as usual. I don't think it is for the American people, but it is for certain segments of the liberal left. It just seems like it's normal.
It's insanity as usual. So we're going to cover a lot of stuff today. We're going to talk about a new segment in the show.
Okay.
And our new segment is called Loony Liberal of the Week.
Well, man, I hope this is not a multiple choice because it's going to be hard.
I got to tell you, when we were preparing for the show, I was meeting with the team, and the competition to be the looniest liberal of the week is fierce.
Mm-hmm.
Because just when you say, wow, that's nuts, then someone in the group goes, yeah, but look what I've got. And it's like, holy crap, that's even crazier than the last person.
You know, so, you wonder, because of the media and their coverage of all of this stuff and trying to make it normal, how many people just fall for it and think, well, this is just normal. This is how you progress. This is how you go on. I mean, the progressive movement is literally a regressive movement. I mean, I know a lot of people have said that, but it is. It's nothing about going forward. It's mostly about going in reverse. And I just wonder where this is going to take us, or whether people will get as sick of it as they did in the 20s, because they did. A lot of people don't know the history of that, but, you know, in the teens, they were very progressive with Woodrow Wilson and people like that. And by the 20s, people were just fed up with them. They didn't want to hear progressive ever again. And so, of course, they changed their name to liberal.
Well, we'll see what they change it to. We're also going to do a little mailbag today, Chuck, where we thought we'd pull a couple of love letters. We get a lot of these.
Yeah, right. This is called self-promotion. Go ahead.
So here's a love letter to you, Chuck Woolery.
Yeah.
Chuck Woolery, America's dumbest right winger, tries to pretend there was no Southern strategy and that the GOP was not taken over by the Confederates.
Yeah, by the way, I just tweeted that out yesterday, and I did get a lot of pushback from the left on that, who are totally ignorant. The Southern switch that the Democrats constantly push at because they were such racists, and they knew they were racist. I use the example of Cory Booker and someone else compared Trump to George Wallace, who was a Democrat racist.
Democrat.
Then he reformed himself and became what?
Well, he became an independent, actually.
Yeah, but he called himself a Republican. Everybody, yeah. At least, or maybe the
that was only party. After somebody shot him, though.
Well, it was after the fact that he said, "I'm really sorry about all this," and he goes, "Now I'm a Republican."
So, yeah, don't shoot me again. I'm a Republican.
Right. Yeah, I'm a Republican now. Don't shoot me again. I'm not a racist anymore. I'm not a Democrat anymore. I'm the other. So anyway, they used him as comparison, which I thought was just stupid because he was one of theirs, not one of ours.
Right, but think about this. In order to not be a racist anymore, he had to leave the Democratic Party.
Well, of course. I know, but they don't mention that. That's the inconvenient truth. The other side of this thing was we're talking about the Southern strategy of all the Democrats becoming Republicans. In fact, that is not true.
It never happened.
Well, it happened. But it happened with two senators. That's it. That was this whole change of the Republican Party to the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. two senators changed, and that's
it.
That's
it takes it. Two. Only two out of 535. That's a complete switch.
It's nuts. And yet they constantly have the media to back them up with these
fallacies
and their fallacies. And over the years, people just accept it and say, well, you know, that's it. All those Democrats became Republicans. Didn't happen.
There was a Southern strategy. The Southern strategy was created at the DNC, and it's called the McGovern Doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And the McGovern Doctrine was that the Democratic Party had to get away from their racist roots and had to get away from all of the things they've done to black people. So they came up with a sales pitch. Let's tell everyone we switched sides.
Right. And it didn't happen.
It's a marketing ploy. It never happened. It was a marketing ploy called the McGovern Doctrine.
But it worked on all these people who wanted to believe it. It worked on a lot of black people because they wanted to believe it.
Oh,
it still works today. I mean, today they still believe this is true.
That is because there are so many people that are epistemologically lazy. I don't want to really do the work of knowing what I know. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let other people dump crap into my brain,
right,
and I'm going to accept it as truth. I'm going to say I know this because someone else told me.
Well, I mean, the pushback on Twitter of that comment that I made was just, I mean, it was just ludicrous. They just went on and on about how stupid I was, and I didn't know anything. And, you know, it gets to the point where I know that Twitter is a cauldron of liberalism. And I'm, you know, among the few who are not liberal. And so they're constantly blasting me. But the point is, at some time, you've got to come to the truth. I mean, we are in such a crazy time. I heard a story that there's in Canada, which figures, that there is a woman who gives massages. Or not massages, waxing to other women.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So she waxes other women. So some transgender guy booked her, and she came in. She said, look, I don't deal with men. Well, let's go to court. You can't call me a man because I identify as a woman, and you're not going to wax my junk, so, you know, you're going to court. And, of course, in Canada, they all support the transgender guy. They don't support the woman who says, I don't want to do that. That's not what I do for a living. I deal with women.
Now, this story is not over.
Huh?
This story isn't over.
No, I know it's not over.
This is Jessica Yaniv, a Canadian LGBT activist who was recently in the news claiming no one would wax his man tackle.
Right.
So to make up for
this woman wouldn't do it.
Correct. So to make up for it, in the township of Langley.
Wherever in the world that is. What province is Langley in?
I have no idea. Somewhere in Canada, eh?
Yeah, Canada, yeah.
So my dad was from there. So anyways, he's hosting a topless swimming event.
Oh, this guy who's a transgender.
Right. So he is now hosting a topless swimming event called the All Body Swim that is going to be
12-year-old girls, right?
Well, all 12-year-olds. It can be boys or girls, but no adults allowed. So
and
just
it's topless.
So a bunch of topless trannies are going to have a swimming event with a bunch of 12-year-olds with no adult supervision. What could possibly go wrong?
You know, today I honestly don't know what it's just amazing. They're so conflicted, these people. I was trying to think on the way over here. I was driving over to work this morning, and I'm trying to think, when did the wheels come off and all this start? And I really have to admit that it seems to me like, I don't know whether I'm correct about this, but it seems to me like it was all during the Obama administration. It didn't happen during the George Bush administration that I'm aware of, did it?
Not like this.
Well, I mean, there's always been this undercurrent of, you know, psychological instability on the left. But this is just, now it's like, you know, Katie bar the doors. Everything is going insane around us. And we're supposed to accept this as normal. It's the new normal. Now, that's definitely an Obama-era expression.
Now, by the way, going back to the mailbag for a minute, this guy who refuses to know history or do any of his own homework.
Yes.
Says it's impossible to be as dumb as Chuck seems to be, And yet, there is no other explanation.
Yeah. Well,
how about Chuck is right? That could be an explanation.
Not to the left. I can never be right.
And then we have a love letter that was sent directly to me, Chuck.
Okay, let's hear it.
Congratulations on being such a smug racist ass.
Oh, my gosh.
So thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, that was it? Just a smug racist ass, and that's...
Congratulations on being such a smug racist ass.
Well, they're taking their lead from their leadership in the Democrat Party. Racist has become, as you well and I know, I think racist, frankly, has jumped the shark. It was like the worst thing you could call someone because there's no defense for it. I mean...
The problem is when everything is racist, nothing can be racist.
Well, we've been saying that for a long time, but they never seem to tire of it, except Cory Booker. Cory Booker now describes Trump as worse than a racist, but beyond a racist. But I'm not sure what that is, what's beyond a racist. So maybe it's run out of steam and they've got to go beyond racism now.
We could maybe come up with mega racist?
Yeah, all right.
Hyper racist, super racist.
Well, the other thing is, I'm trying to think. You know, this has been going on for a long time. They called Nixon a racist. They called Reagan a racist. They called Bush a racist.
Chuck Woolery a racist.
They, you know, anybody on the right, they call a racist. So if you're on the left, you're immune from this, unless you are one, and then they call you out like Nancy Pelosi. But the interesting thing about it is you're wondering why this is kind of in hyperdrive right now. And my theory is, since Trump has had such an economic success and lifting up black people and creating these incredible jobs that just now no one can deny it. The left can't deny it anymore, although they try. Mm-hmm. So their denial now becomes, well, we're going to go into a massive recession and probably a depression. This is Elizabeth Warren's take. Mm-hmm. So things are just way too good and it can't last. So now that they've lifted these people up and they're not on welfare anymore, they don't depend on the state anymore, and they may, because Trump has been so good economically for them and women, everything is now an assault on you're a racist, you're a racist, you're a racist, because it's the only thing that they think can work in order to make black people think, well, I can't vote for him, he's a racist. Even though he's given me provided a environment where I can go to work and take care of my family and everything's different now. It's good. It's better. But he's still a racist. So it's. I think they're scared to death they're going to lose the black vote, a great portion of it, and the Hispanic vote. And I think this is what this is all about. And they're always saying, by the way, Mark, suburban women will not vote for Trump. And yet they always do.
Well, you know, let me ask a question. What's the history of the word racist?
I don't know.
Well, it is believed.
If I had to guess, let me guess. If it's recent history within the last 100 years or so, I would say it goes back to political correctness and the Frankfurt School, probably having something to do with speaking out against government or defying whatever. I'm guessing, but I would think it comes from the left. And that's its origin.
It goes back a couple hundred years, but where it was really, adapted and became in common use was our friend Goebbels.
Well, again, like I said, recent history, that's within 100 years or, you know, so, and that's Goebbels with the Nazis who.
Right. It was part of Nazi propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the Nazis, but they're the ones that are literally using the Nazi playbook.
Isn't that fascinating how they constantly turn who they are and project it onto you?
But you have to pay attention.
Media, they're successful.
But if you just pay attention, you see that they're using the Nazi playbook.
While accusing you of being a Nazi.
Correct. Hiding in plain sight. Yeah. Now, you were talking about Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren has given us dire warnings, Chuck.
Yeah, right. The economy's going to collapse.
That this terrible economy that we are in right now is going to collapse at any moment. But she has the answer.
Oh, yeah. Let government take care of it. I mean, it can take care of it with $15, you know, whatever. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I want you to – here's the answer. The answer is – $15 minimum wage.
Yeah.
More jobs and opportunity for poor black women. Because this is, because
how,
I want you to,
are we going to give jobs to poor black women and by raising the minimum wage to $15? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm not quite sure. Oh. But here's the linchpin. Here's the big thing. A law requiring all companies to make 40% of their board members out of the lowest paid workers in the company.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, you don't need any experience to run a company.
Well, you know that. Well, of course you don't, because Elizabeth Warren has no experience running a company or anything else.
Well, I'm kind of adapting to this idea, though. This 40%. You take. No. You're being judgmental.
I am. But go ahead.
I think there's a big savings here. Because if there's no skills required to run a Walmart or General Motors, you can just take, you know, somebody off the greeter and make them run the company. Mm-hmm. If you can do that with 40%, think of how we could lower costs in so many other areas. So think about if we could replace 40% of all the surgeons with orderlies.
You know, it boils down to this. It's people in places of authority like Elizabeth Warren, who have never held a job, who've never done anything, think they have the answer to everything. And so if they have the answer to everything and they've never done anything, then other people who have never done anything must have the answers to everything too.
Now this will surprise you. Elizabeth Warren's economic plan is so bad that even CNN says it will crash the economy.
That's really bad with CNN.
Okay, how crazy do you have to be for CNN to say that a liberal is crazy?
Pretty crazy.
Now, keep in mind, these are the people who think Marianne Williamson is normal.
Who's Marianne Williamson?
She's the psychic who's running for president.
Which one is she? Is she the one on the far left side?
Well, she's definitely on the far left side.
I know, but is she the one that during the debate, she was like the one on the very last?
Yes, who wants to hug everyone. And she's the author of the book, The Secret, The Law of Attraction, Chuck, mm-hmm. where if you sit on your couch, just plant your ass on a couch.
Start thinking good thoughts.
And think good thoughts and think of the things that you want to have in your life.
You are what you think.
But it's even better because the universe. Now, follow me.
Yeah, you got to reach out to the universe and hear
yes.
you do, whatever that is.
Because so Chuck, I guess
Pluto hears you.
The universe will provide you everything you want in your life. All
These
you have to do is think
insane.
Hard enough.
They truly are. They're just certified. and there's so many of them who are like this that it appears to be normal. And it's anything but.
Have you been paying attention to Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico is a mess. It's always been a mess. It'll always be a mess. It's been run by Democrats forever. And that is the only kind of you could have like a Republican governor over there. But everybody else is a Democrat, so it doesn't really work. So it's kind of like California. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's graft, it's corruption, it's everywhere. Spain left its footmark. It's just a corrupt society.
You notice that economies seem to work wherever the British flag flew.
That's true.
And corruption exists wherever the Spanish flag flew.
Exactly right. And there's a book Michener wrote on that called Caribbean, which you can literally identify all of those things. And wherever the French were, they left good food behind them.
At least we have cheese.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. You've always known all those jokes like, why does the French Navy have glass bottom boats?
No, I haven't heard that joke.
So they can view the previous French Navy?
Oh, okay. All right. Poor French. They just take it
away. I know.
Well, it's like, you know, we're talking about Iran and everything else, and everybody's saying, well, I think we can deal with Britain, and we can deal with Germany, but I don't think we can deal with France.
Or what are the signs? What's the sign say inside the French Army Navy surplus store?
I have no idea.
Guns for sale. Never fired. Dropped once.
Man. Well, you know, they've been taken over by Muslims now that the EU let them in all over Europe. So now we have these giant Islamist communities that are everywhere running everything, and nobody will do anything about it because the government won't take responsibility for it because they allowed it.
They set cars on fire, hundreds of cars on fire in France every night.
People all over London. I mean, you know, this guy Khan, he is totally a con.
Oh, in London, yeah. He's grinding the tips off of knives.
Well, now we got a new prime minister coming in, Boris, whatever his name is, Boris Brexit.
Boris Brexit.
Well, he said by November it's going to all be done. He's getting out.
Well, let's hope Boris pulls it off. By the way, Pete Buttigieg. Am I saying this right? Buttigieg?
Close enough. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Buttigieg. Does that get that right, Patrick?
Yeah, he's Buttigieg. The only guy running who has a husband, I think.
He does. So, well, no, there's some women that are married, but he's the only man running with a husband. Yes. You got to correct that. You're a sexist. You're a homophobe.
What's wrong with me?
Damn it, Chuck Woolery.
I used to be such a nice guy.
People used to like you.
I know. I said so. Oh, well, never mind. Go ahead.
Pete Buttigieg says all Trump supporters. Bend
certainly makes him presidential material.
Absolutely, because South Bend is doing so freaking well right now.
We all know that.
He says that all Trump supporters are committed racists.
Well, if Trump is a racist and we vote for him, it stands to reason that we must be racist too.
But we're not soft, no, we're on committed. The bubble racist. We're committed racist.
Well, I mean, the weird thing is, again, if you're not a Democrat, you're a racist. Even if you're black and you're a conservative, you're a racist. I mean, it's just nuts.
But Buttigieg is proving the theory. What's that even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
He says these committed racists are voters that I'm never going to win over. He's right about that.
He's
one.
He's certainly right about that. Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, Chuck,
let me put something in perspective for you. I don't know where I've mentioned this before. Buttigieg's family, his dad was a professor at Notre Dame.
Yeah, committed communist.
He was a communist. He was a avowed communist. Their family every year celebrated Karl Marx's birthday. Who does that?
Well,
I mean, that's a fact. It sounds bizarre, but it's true.
We give everybody that day off. Are you kidding?
Boy.
Oh, no, I'm mistaken. It wasn't Karl Marx's birthday we celebrate here. It's Groucho Marx's birthday we celebrate.
I always celebrate Groucho. Even that I don't celebrate.
Even Groucho Marx would have thought that was wrong. But
when the duck comes down, I'll pay you $200.
All right, now we're showing our age. But anyways, back in South Bend, Indiana.
You just said something very interesting. Now we're showing our age. It seems like the older you get, you should become more wise to the world and the ways of the world.
That does not happen in the liberal side.
But it doesn't happen on the liberal side. The older you get, the more dispensable you become.
And the crazier you get.
Mm-hmm.
So Buttigieg's police department is basically looking for jobs.
Yeah. Why is it, there's something to do with a shooting there that the black community rose up against.
Well, here's what's happening. The mayor, Mayor Buttigieg, will not back his cops.
Well, what Democrat mayor does? I mean, look at what's his name in New York. He doesn't back his cops either.
Oh, Wilhelm, otherwise known as de Blasio.
Right, yeah.
Why do liberals all change their names? What's up with that?
I don't know. Geraldo changed his.
Oh, well, at least
I've known Geraldo a long time. I've known him since the 60s. We've been friends at arm's length. That is, we crossed each other's path. Our careers kind of came along at the same time. But Jerry, no matter what he advocates, he always picks the wrong side and the wrong people to advocate for. It's amazing to me.
Gerald Rivers. But who's going to remember Gerald Rivers?
You, so, you know.
But Geraldo Rivera sounds so much more exotic than Gerald Rivers. I mean, I don't blame him for that one. That's a better name. But anyways, back, finish up here on South Bend. The cops, there's at least 10 cops leaving the police department.
Well, that would be just about half of them, wouldn't it?
Well, they only have 200 cops. That's a lot of cops when you only have 200.
Right.
But the cops are looking to see if they can get into retirement, if they can push retirement, buy retirement. And crime in the city is increasing. And the reason crime in the city is increasing is because the cops won't enforce the law because they're afraid they're going to be the criminal.
Well, didn't this happen in Baltimore?
Yes. It happens in most liberal cities.
Another liberal city where the mayor didn't back the cops.
Yeah. It's exactly what happens. Let's do our segment, Loony Liberal of the Week.
All right. I'm all in. Listen, I'll try.
Contestant number one is Erica Thomas, Chuck.
Okay.
Erica Thomas is the Georgia House Minority Leader who is so desperate to find racism in America that she has to go all Jussie Smollett and create her own racist event.
She accused a Cuban Democrat, a very liberal Democrat.
Yes, a devout Trump hater.
Exactly. One of her own.
Of telling her.
Well, not really. He's a person of color unless he's Spanish. And even then, he's a person of color because everyone who's not from Norway or England is a person of color to the left. So you have a person of color offending another person of color of the same party. And he told her to go back to where she came from. But he never really said that. And she admitted it. And still it's the narrative on CNN that he said it.
Correct. So, and she gave a tear-filled video.
I saw
talking about how horrible this experience was, because all I did was go to the Publix in the 10 items or less aisle with an entire shopping cart full of stuff, and the guy said, "You're in the wrong aisle." Yeah. Now, she defended her position of saying that he told her to go back to her own country because, well, he didn't really say it.
He actually told her to go to another aisle, which was kind of like go to an island.
See, that's the point. See, he said, go to another aisle, and she heard, go back to your own country. Yeah. But she knew she's a liberal. Now, remember, all liberals are psychic.
Mm-hmm.
She knew that's what was in his heart.
Yeah,
right. Of course. She could tell. Yeah. All right, so that's contestant number one. Contestant number two. This is a young woman who got very angry about a Trump 2020 sign, Chuck. She drove her car off the road through a barbed wire fence in order to crash into the Trump sign. This is captured on video. She then got out with spray paint to deface the sign. Mm-hmm. She then got back in her car and realized that her car was now stuck in the land and tied up in the barbed wire, and she couldn't get her car out.
Yeah, who's she blamed for that?
So she abandoned her car there, not really thinking through the whole process that the car was actually registered in her name.
Yes.
And she was clearly caught on video defacing this man's property.
Mm-hmm.
Got to admit, that's a tough contestant right there.
Well, that's just, yeah, that's lunacy at its whatever. That's what an idiot.
And our last contestant is none other than sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe Biden.
Oh, he can't be the winner.
Uncle Joe has, I want you to think this. You're the campaign manager for Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
You tell him you've got one job. Don't kiss people, maul people, and grab people. You got one job. We need you to do one thing, Joe.
But Joe's such a handsy, you know, handsy guy. He's just a loving kind of grandpa who wants to run around, put his hands on your shoulders and rub them for you and whisper in your ear and tell you how fabulous you are. And one of these days you're going to grow up and be a real man killer. And
well, on stage in Las Vegas, in front of,
this is to a 12-year-old, by the way, but go ahead.
In front of a large crowd in Las Vegas on stage, Joe decided to give his own granddaughter a nice kiss on the lips.
Well, you know, I let go everything when they're family and children and grandchildren and stuff like that.
Yeah, did you watch the video though?
No,
it kind of just lingered there for a minute. It was a little creepy.
Well, it probably was.
But if you're Joe Biden, I'm agreeing.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did. You have. You've said that. You met him through
at a party in L.A.
It was that at our syndicator's house?
Our syndicator's house.
Yes, we can blame him. Podcast one is the fault for you meeting this guy. So at any rate, if you're Joe Biden and you now have this 50 years reputation to live down.
And they want
to
take control of the room. They just want to be the person who is everyone looks at and everyone. That's Joe Biden. He walked into the room. He was the least – probably least person in the room with any kind of gravitas at all. And he tried so hard to make his presence known. It was just
people now, were going, I don't know. Who is before you rule Joe out as not winning today's contest, I want to add into that that Joe did an interview where he said, come on, Donald, you want to do a push-up contest? Let's do a push-up contest.
He was also going to take him out and beat him behind the schoolhouse at one time. I mean, he's nuts.
He's going to take him out behind the schoolhouse.
Give me a break. You know, I must tell you something. When you look at all this stuff, these people act like they're 12 years old.
I'm thinking.
They're like 12-year-old boys. It's just amazing.
Can you imagine Joe Biden and Donald Trump having a push-up contest?
No, I can't. I mean,
you'd have to have paramedics standing by with defibrillators.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, whatever.
But who at 76 years old says, come on, Donald, you want to have a push-up contest? Come on, bring it on. Come at me, brah. Yeah. I mean, really? That's what I think we should change his name to. Come at me, brah.
Come at me, Biden. Brah Biden. Exactly. Come at me, brah Biden.
All right, Chuck. So you have the decision. Is it Erica Thompson for fake racism? Because obviously racism is so bad in America that you now have to go find it and create it.
Right.
Is it the 20-year-old woman who drove in the fence and buried her car? Mm-hmm. Or is it come at me, brah, Biden?
I'm taking the 20-year-old who was offended by a sign in a field, drove through a barbed wire fence, got her car stuck, left it with her name on the registration. Faced a sign.
I got to tell you that I am with you on that, and I agree with you on that one. So I think that was a good choice. Moving on to more craziness, Bernie Sanders, $15 an hour bank fraud.
It's
Bernie,
like old news now. I mean, you know, he did. You know, it's so typical of the hyperbole on the left and the promises that they cannot fulfill. And what's the other word I'm looking for? Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
He's anyway. Cutting their hours.
I'm sorry?
He's cutting his staff's hours.
Well, look, he can't pay them $15 an hour. They know it. He's advocating for everybody to pay everybody $15 an hour. Can you imagine if the federal government starts saying you got to pay $15, $20, $25, $30? It is obviously true that when you raise the minimum wage like that to a level where a 16-year-old is making more money than they're worth, and this is all directed at someone taking care of a family on $15 an hour, breaking our poverty line, businesses just go out of business. They can't afford it. And no one will address that really head on and say, you know, this is a business decision. And if you don't want to work for $8 an hour or whatever it is now, then fine, go find another job. But there are so many businesses on the West Coast, like Oregon, Washington, which have raised their minimum wage to $15. New York is known for its restaurants, correct?
Right.
They're all going out of business. They can't afford to pay their help $15 an hour. So there are fewer restaurants in New York now than there were a couple of years ago. This is just plain economics. And the reason that we don't do well with the left in our economy ever, besides under Clinton, which was a holdover from Reagan, I'm going to say that, the reason is that they don't understand it. They don't care about economics. They really don't want you to do well. They want you to do poorly, so you depend on the government.
When you look at...
You remember what Nancy Pelosi said about the welfare system? That it actually made money or something, some weird thing like that?
Oh, yes, because According to them, for every dollar that a welfare recipient gets, it returns $1.62 exactly. to the economy.
It's so insane that I don't know who believes this crap.
But liberals, I see liberals on Twitter will throw that at me all the time. So my response to always that is, then if a dollar of welfare is $1.62 in the economy, then why don't we eliminate all jobs, put the entire country on welfare, and we'll all be rich beyond belief?
Democrats would say perfect.
Right? Every dollar turns into $1.62. Just start printing money.
Paul Krugman, Nobel Prize winner, economics on steroids.
So when you look at this stuff, first, I mean, we were talking about Joe Biden's campaign manager.
If you compare Paul Krugman on the New York Times, who is literally a Nobel Prize winner for economics.
He's an idiot.
Thomas Sowell, who is not a Nobel Prize winner. It's insane. I mean, you can't really even compare the two. They never debate because the Democrat would never debate someone like Thomas Sowell. He would eat them alive.
Well, none of these people will debate. AOC won't debate. Rashida Tlaib won't debate. Mm-hmm. Ilhan Omar won't. None of these people will debate anything. Right. But go back to this. We were talking about Joe Biden's campaign manager asking Joe, just don't grab people. Don't kiss people. Now, think of Bernie's campaign manager. Bernie, we can't pay everyone $15 an hour. We can't afford to do that. I mean, does Bernie just look at him with a blank stare like, what? How we can't? How does that not work? I mean, Bernie, think about Bernie.
So if you had to go right to the nub of it, what is Bernie Sanders? Is
he's a capitalist.
He's a communist operating in a capitalist world.
He's a capitalist.
Yeah.
Think about it. This is a guy with $2.5 million in the bank, 3 houses, and he can't pay his people the $15 an hour. He is a capitalist who has figured out I can sell communism to get elected.
Right. That's what they're all doing. Pelosi, same way.
But he lives as a capitalist.
I mean, the left is literally making Pelosi look like she's a moderate. And she's as radical as any of them. I loved it the other day. Someone was interviewing her and said, are you afraid of the progressive wing of your party? And she said, well, no, I'm a progressive.
They're making Obama look moderate right now.
That's pretty tough to do.
But when you think about Obama's presidency, and now you look at what these candidates are proposing, it makes Obama look moderate.
Well, I mean, we keep going back and watching what Obama said, not what he did, because what he said and what he did were two different things. But what he said about the border, what he said about, you know, illegals, what he said, I guess he didn't believe any of it, but he said what was the typical line up to that point, standing up for the border. But, you know, it all came unscrewed with him.
We can't have a border. Adam Schiff.
Pencil neck.
Thank you. Pencil neck. So I'm going to ask you what you think here, and I'm going to give you my play in this. Adam Schiff now says, well, we're not going to be able to get Trump while he's in office. We're going to indict him when he's out. Right. The Southern District of New York is going to indict him once he's out of office. So folks, don't plan on us getting him now.
I thought the Southern District of New York just dropped everything.
They did.
Yeah, right.
They said there was no there.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam Schiff says, but I'm going to ask them to open it back up after Trump gets out.
That's what they're doing with Mueller tomorrow. I mean, I know the show's going to be played a little bit later. But it's, you know, they're looking for something, anything they can grasp onto, any little nugget that they can start playing in a loop on CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC and blah, blah, blah. On it goes.
Well, CNN did an entire show focused on what if Trump refuses to leave office after his term or terms are over. This was an entire program on CNN.
Yeah, right. Well, he's so lawless.
He is. He's the lawless president.
The person who is probably the most transparent president we've ever had. This is true, like it or not. And who has followed the letter of the law, which is true, is considered the least transparent and the most lawless by the left. It's I'm wondering if it's now just because it's time for the election to come up in a year and a half. Golly, it seems like forever that all this stuff is going on, or if it's just the left. Well, I mean, they're just crazy.
They are crazy. But here's what I think this is about.
And they believe we're crazy.
If you look at any of the Democrat fundraising letters that they send out to their constituents.
I have never seen one, I have to admit.
We get them here.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So one of our producers has signed up to as a fake Democrat to get their letters.
Okay.
And their letters are all about impeach, impeach the lawless president. Mm-hmm. We need your money now. We need your money to help us go after him. Mm-hmm. They're appealing to that far left constituency. I think when you see an Adam Schiff come out and say, well, we're never going to get him while he's in office, but we're going to get him when he's out. Don't worry.
We're going to get him no matter what.
I think that is nothing but a fundraising ploy to keep the left motivated, to get them to keep giving money.
Well, they've always given a lot of money. I mean, these people, they've got all the wealthy billionaires on their side when they always claimed that the Republicans are the ones that are all the billionaires, which I find at one time that was true. It's not anymore. It hadn't been for a long time.
The average Democratic voter makes $6,000 more per year than the average Republican voter.
Well, you wouldn't know it listening to them.
No, we're the party of all the rich people.
Right.
But when you think about impeach is there for fundraising purposes. Impeach is the wall for us.
Well, you know, they've got to have a boogeyman if they don't. I tweeted out the other day that Democrats go to bed angry. And they get up angry and unhappy. And I go to bed happy and I get up happy. It's just a different mindset. They're just angry all the time. They're angry at the country. They're angry at things they didn't even know they're angry about. They know nothing about.
You know why you get up feeling good and not angry?
I'm positive, I guess. I don't know.
I was going to say it's because you use Blue Emu.
And I'm stupid.
For you, not for using Blue Emu.
No, but I am stupid. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. This episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Pain Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for many years now, and I'm not slowing down, but I can use a little help every now and then. Blue Emu's family of products are made in America and have become a staple in my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain and the Lidocaine Cream for numbing pain relief. Not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, and no odor. Blue Emu, it works fast and you won't stink. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers. Blue Emu, that's a good product, you know? Works for me.
Yeah, it does. So anyways, Chuck, following up here. So I want you to pay attention to this English because, you know, bad English gets to you.
Well, look, when I tweet, I get a lot of complaints from the left. It's always from the left.
But it's spelling, not your grammar.
Well, it's either spelling or it's grammar. It's both. They just, you know. But I type as I think, and so I go pretty quick and a lot of times don't have time to reread it.
Rashida Tlaib says here in Detroit at the NAACP speech, and she screamed this out several times, I'm not going nowhere until I impeach this president. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that means she is going somewhere. Since she has employed the use of a double negative, that would mean that she is going somewhere.
Yeah. Well, she's real, you know. That's why she curses all the time, because it makes her real.
I'm starting a GoFundMe page for her to get her a hairbrush. But at any rate, she's not going nowhere until she impeaches this president. And she also is attacking...
Let's talk about how these people got elected. Let's talk about her and Omar, just those two. How did they get elected to Congress?
Because I don't think anybody put up a legitimate competition to him.
No. It's a constituency. It's where they're from. It's what's happened to the districts where they're from. All of these people that were imported from Muslim countries have been concentrated in Wisconsin in certain districts, and Omar has that district. So all of these people voted for her. And I would imagine the same thing with Tlaib, although I'm not from Detroit, but you are. So
yes, she represents where our studios are.
Which is primarily, collectively, mostly Muslim?
It's becoming, there is becoming more blacks and more Muslims in the area. We're next to Dearborn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to point some out to you. In Dearborn.
This is changing the culture of our country.
It is.
I mean, we don't have Muslims in office. We got Islamists in office. That's who these people are.
And there's a difference.
There's a big difference.
So here in our area, there is a guy by the name of Sam Zahir. Sam is a Lebanese American who lives in Dearborn. Sam has opened up a couple of hamburger restaurants here in the area called Burgerium. And Burgerium are was a company founded in Tel Aviv, and they make these little mini burgers out of all kinds of different meats.
Like sliders?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got one in Royal Oak. He's got one in Redford, or one opening in Redford where we're at. He started opening one in Dearborn, got the permits, signed a 5-year lease, put the fixtures in, did the plumbing, did the electrical. He has now lost all of that money and abandoned opening that restaurant.
And the reason?
Because of the death threats against him and his children.
And the reason?
Because he is attempting to open a restaurant in Dearborn that has ties to Tel Aviv. And that means he's no Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So Dearborn, you got to remember, when you've driven through Dearborn with me, yes, where the signs are all in Arabic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got restaurants that don't even have English on a sign.
It's like going through Chinatown. It's like, yeah.
So this guy has lost his restaurant and lost everything because the violence threatened against him and his children in his hometown has become so great, he decided it wasn't worth it.
Well, what is that old expression? A prophet had no recognition in his own country.
Yes, sir. No man is a prophet in his own camp. But they claim that Donald Trump is a bully. And Rashida Tlaib says he's a bully and we stand up to bullies. No, this is being a bully.
They do it while they're bullying, which I think is very funny.
No, threatening a man's children for the fact that he wants to open up a burger joint.
Yeah, I know. I know, it's crazy.
Is bullying. So, Chuck, an interesting thing happened here. I'm going to walk you through this story, and
well,
there's a reason.
When you say here, what exactly are you talking about?
Here at our offices.
Oh, in your offices, okay.
So I'm going to tell you a personal story here.
All right.
So I've decided to sell off a few cars. I have too many cars, as you know. Yeah, so I decided to get rid of a few cars.
Yeah.
A few of them, anyways. So a guy calls up off of eBay and he says, well, I want to buy that car. I'm going to mail you a check.
Now, which car is it?
This would be my Cadillac XLRV.
Okay. That's the one you had in Florida.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to buy that car. I'm going to mail you a check and I'm going to put some extra money in the check for the shipping company. You pay the shipping company.
Mm-hmm.
So my nephew's handling this and I tell my nephew, that's a scam. Call the guy back, tell him you want a $2,000 cash deposit, a $2,000 credit card. So the guy vanishes. 10 days later, a check shows up in the mail.
Yes.
We, of course, check on the check and find out that the check. So here's how the scam works. I go online. I tell you I want to buy something. I tell you I'll pay the money. And then I'm going to give you a ridiculous more amount of money to give to some mysterious shipper to bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they do is they steal checking accounts from real companies. So in this particular case, this check shows up written against an ad agency in New York with a real checking account number. here's what happens. Had we deposited the check actually would have cleared the bank.
Right.
we would have given this mysterious shipper $4,000 for an $800 shipping job. And then the check would have come back when the account holder reconciled their account and said this wasn't ours. And then you lose your money. So this is the scam. We called every phone number at the FBI and every phone number at our local police department and could not reach a human.
Really?
To tell them that we had an internet and postal scam going on.
So you couldn't get, excuse me, you couldn't get a hold of a person, a live person to talk to?
No. And this is my point. The FBI is wrapped up in Russian collusion. They're wrapped up chasing, you know, someone like Dr. Corsi. They're wrapped up in all of this crap, and they don't have time to answer the freaking phone to prosecute a real crime. And here's the thing.
That's interstate crime, too. That would be, you know, interstate, correct?
And yes, and we collected all the guy's data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we literally had because he wanted us to transfer the money into a bank account, which was a real bank account. So we have all the guy's real data.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't get our local police to answer the phone, couldn't get the FBI to answer the phone.
Well, the local police aren't chasing down, you know, Trump problems. What are they chasing down?
We have no idea, but we called every phone number they had, and you either got a fax machine or it just would disconnect you.
So what's the answer to that if people do have situations like that? Is the answer to show up in person, to walk into the sergeant and say, look, this is a problem. I want to put this before you. What do you do? I'm sorry, the sergeant's busy.
Yeah, we're tied up right now. We've got to go out and, you know, run guard for a Rashida Tlaib event.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this gets back to something that I've said before, and that is we're on our own. We're responsible for our own security. We have to pay attention to scams like this and not fall prey to them. And I think this is the reason why something like the Second Amendment is so important, that we're going to have to be able to take care of ourselves because law enforcement's not showing up. You can have a freaking federal crime in front of you and you can't get them to show up. By the way, after we told this guy that we knew that he was a criminal and that we had his information and we never cashed check and he was a scammer, he's continued to call for the past two, three days demanding, now trying to blackmail us for the money. That's how emboldened this guy is. And I'm going to tell you, the reason he's so bold and not hiding is because he knows law enforcement is never going to come and look for him. He knows he's going to get away with it as long as he wants to do it.
Well,
no reason to run.
It's a crazy world we live in right now.
That is dumbfounding, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure that the average American doesn't wake up and think about all this stuff that we're talking about all the time. Some people do. But I was really interested to talk to someone who possibly will be coming on the show pretty soon. I'm not going to mention his name. But he's an insider. He's been in Washington all his life. And I just wonder the game that's played there. It seems to me like I'm watching television. I'll watch Fox News or I'll watch CNN or MSNBC, ABC, CBS, whatever it is, because I literally watch all of them or try to just for comparison and information. And it seems to me like these panels when they're talking, they have these panels with, you know, on ABC or CBS or whatever, with one Republican by name only, and then three progressives.
Yeah, it would be like Bill Kristol, Republican.
Yeah.
Or Walsh.
It's right. So the faux conservative or the neocon. And I watch these things, and I'm thinking to myself, who are they talking to? And I realize it's really not the nation. They're not talking to the people of the nation. They're talking to people in little enclaves like Washington, New York, LA, people who just chatter and gossip and talk about their ideas and what they're going to do. And a lot of it has nothing to do with the news. It has to do with what if this happens and what if that happens. And it's just amazing. It's just vacuous.
It's like a Hollywood cocktail party.
It's absolutely vacuous. You get nothing out of it except someone's opinion who nobody really cares about unless you live in Washington.
Well, I'm going to wrap the hour up on what I think is one of the most important stories that no one is covering. And it's on Ilhan Omar.
Yeah, there's some information out there that doesn't seem right, isn't there?
There are 8 instances of perjury on her that if they were done by you, you would be facing 40 years in prison.
So what is it that the left seems to be able to get away with this, or a lot of people just seem to be able to get away with things in Washington that none of us could get away with?
It is amazing.
By something.
Somewhere. Right now, the evidence looks pretty overwhelming that she is involved with perjury.
And of course, that would be racist.
Immigration fraud.
That's racist.
Marriage fraud.
That's racist.
Up to 8 years of state and federal tax fraud.
And you're racist for even bringing that up.
2 years of federal student loan fraud. More racist.
Yeah, right.
And bigamy.
Yeah.
We so far have verifiable UK and US marriage records, verifiable address records, time-stamped, archived online communications, background checks, court documents, photographs, falsified campaign finance documents. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
There is
a lot of evidence that is against
her. These people do this stuff. And it goes back to your explanation with the guy who's not afraid to hide. It doesn't feel like he needs to hide. They get away with it. And they're never held accountable.
No, they completely feel empowered to break the law while giving speeches that no one is above the law.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? And yet they're the ones who break the law. And they're saying Trump is not above the law and no president is above the law. And yet they do all these lawless things. They say these things while protecting illegals, while protecting sanctuary cities, while protecting, I mean, the list goes on and on and on about their illegality and their complete disdain for the law. And then they hold up Trump as an example of someone who's supposedly lawless.
Yeah, Rep. Omar has refused all inquiries from her constituents, elected officials, and media outlets.
Well, how about the FBI?
They're kind of busy right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I still think the guys on the line are good. You know, another thing that when you're wrapping this up, I'd just like to say this. It would be really interesting to go deep state on our government and find out who these people are who are thwarting Trump throughout the deep state government and all these different agencies. Because there are people in place that are doing it every day. They're resisting every day. And now, they're just employees of our government, and they've been there a long time, and they need to be dealt with.
The people that have been doing the research on this thing with Omar are now expressing fear regarding threats that they've actually been getting from the Omar campaign team. Mm-hmm. And they have shared evidence of those threats.
Well, who are the people doing these? Is it Judicial Watch or who?
We have a group of people that are working on this. David Steinberg is kind of at the head of this, working with Scott Johnson and Preya Samsunder.
Well, these are not official agencies.
No, these are reporters.
Oh, they're reporters. Okay.
These are news people that have been doing all the digging because there's a few honest news people left in America.
Like Cheryl Atkinson.
And you don't hear about them much, to be honest with you. But the evidence seems to be overwhelming, and this evidence has been all turned over to the DOJ, but it doesn't seem to be much is happening right now.
Well, I have no idea. I have no answer for that. I don't know why it's happening. I can't imagine the DOJ turning a blind eye to it. It seems like if you're a Muslim, you're in government, or you're a Muslim and you're in America, you're shielded by something. I don't know what it is, nor do I know why that is. But I know it's happened throughout Europe. I mean, my gosh, they shield these people. They commit rape and everything else. And they will not allow a woman in Sweden to come in and say, this guy raped me. And they go, no, you can't say that. It's nuts. And it's worldwide. It's not just here. In fact, it's worse in other places than it is here.
But that conservative pendulum is swinging back.
Well, hopefully it will. I don't know where to land, but hopefully it will. I hope it doesn't go to the extreme either.
So I want to ask our listeners to do us a great favor. I want to tell you, I was looking at some of the reviews we have on iTunes, Chuck.
Yeah.
And my goodness, you should go read those. They are amazing. I mean, I read those reviews and I'm like, oh my God, I am so touched by the kind things and the warm things that people are saying about this show.
How nice.
And we have 4.5 stars out of 5 stars.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It is incredible. And I want to thank people for that. I want to ask people to go leave more reviews. And I want to ask our audience to just take a link wherever you get this show. If you're not subscribing, subscribe to it so it automatically downloads for you. And if you would, take a link to the show and send it to one person. We can try to expand that audience a little bit. Maybe send it to a liberal. Make their head explode.
I'm surprised a lot of liberals don't listen to this show already.
Well, obviously we are getting liberals listening because they have to be listening to be able to send you these lovely letters.
Right, true.
So somehow they're having some kind of communication. But we know, you know, that they listen to Rush Limbaugh too. I mean, look at all the crazy stuff they do over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fox News, same thing. I mean, it's how they just try to go after you and boycott, you know, your advertisers or whatever the case is. But we will continue to tell the truth.
Hey, listen, we really appreciate you as listeners. You're a great audience. You're a smart audience, obviously. And we really, really, really love you and thank you for listening to the show. And we'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.